How many of you hear the word meditate? Anybody ever hear that word meditate? I've had friends of mine say, I meditate. And I've asked so many times, meditate on what? You don't know the word of God. And I said, what do you meditate on? Amen? And the Bible says to meditate on his word. And I said, well, in order to do that, you first must know his word. Amen? And it starts with just simply knowing his promises. You got the promise books. Did anybody look at your promise books this week? I hope you did. Because the promise books lead you to the next step. Right, Sergio? The promise books lead you to the Bible. Amen? Though all he has for us is good, though he blesses us and fills our lives with beautiful things, it is when you walk with him a while and get to know his ways and his gentleness that you begin to search for those promises that fill your life, from the small to the mountain movers. Amen? Now, I'm going to pick on Deacon Chuck again because it's just beautiful. He met this person that he, very important, that other people would take forever to get to talk to her, to be with her. And God opened the door this wide and presented her to Chuck like that. And she said, anytime you need, you know, medical, whatever you do, whatever you are, she said, come to me. And if that isn't a miracle, amen, because other people would try to contact this person, and the doors would go, oh, yeah, now, well, let me see, we can see you in October. Amen? But because Chuck's heart is for God, and he doesn't know where they, so God says, come, I'm going to direct your path, I'm going to lead you. And the second you start to see it that way, you realize, I'm not alone. Amen? Because God is with me. Hallelujah. Hope. How many want hope? I'm going to take three promises today. I got three promises from a promise book. Three promises. Hope. And I'm going to give you the first one today is hope. And this is in Romans. It said, listen, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Amen? You want patience. You want that comfort. It comes from where? God, the Scriptures. So when you meditate, you got to meditate on the hope. Amen? So if you just meditate on the air and isn't God great, look at the stars, and after you get done with that, what have you had? Nothing. You've gained nothing. Amen? But when you start to meditate on his word and know his promises, so if you want hope, you just go to Romans and you read that. It says, whatever was written before, here, was written for who? For us. Amen? For what? For hope. For what? Tomorrow. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, how about fear? Anybody have fear? Fear is like doubt. Fear could be depression. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says in Isaiah. Just listen to it. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Who will he strengthen? You. He said, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. You say, well, that doesn't sound as comforting as I need it. But yes, it does if you think about it. It says simply to rest in his hope. Sometimes we get stressed thinking we need to do things. We need to be more active. And God is saying, no, now, right now, you're tired. Your body needs rest. He said, rest in my hope. He says, you're not alone. Now, if you knew some of his word, amen, you could go back and meditate on the promises. And that's where it starts with. Now, that was right from Isaiah. You can read Isaiah 41, a little bit, five lines, and it gives you hope, and it takes away the fear of being what? Alone. I tell you that being alone sounds like a little thing, but if you just watch that show we've been watching, these grown men who are woodsmen are alone, and they can't handle being alone. If they understood that this time I got away from everything, away from my family, because who comes first? I'm sorry to tell you, he comes first. Because he adds all the other things underneath you. You got to put him first. Everybody has to put him first so that he can add all the beautiful. And he's adding to your life every day anyway. Amen? He's not going to take away. But if you have that fear that you're alone and you don't know what to do, God is saying, no, I'm right here. This is a perfect time for us to get together. And we always say, lean not on your own understanding. Amen? That's the part that you got to let go of. And there's one other scripture that says, when you are weakest, he is strongest. That's what it says. You know what that means? When you finally give up trying, when you finally get out of all your ideas, all your thoughts, all your opinions about things, and you finally just say, I have nothing left, and God says, finally. I can do something with you because you're ready to receive. Amen. So when you're at your weakest place, that's a time, I mean, we're going to read it later. It's a time to rejoice in the fact that God can finally do something in you. Amen. He can move you from where you've been stuck with to a place you never believed before. But you got to see it. Amen. You got to trust God. You got to take that time alone and say, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to rest. I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm just going to go outside and sit in the sun. I'm just going to listen to the birds because God has given me a chance to read. I'll tell you what, there's millions of people out there, millions and millions of people who go to work every day, every day, every day, every day, that would give everything they have to have a week of just resting in the Lord. Amen? So this is a blessed time when you see it in God's eyes. Amen? And now guilt. I'll do one more promise. Anybody got guilt? I know some people that you know. You don't even know that I know that I know that you know, but I know. They don't forgive themselves for things they did 30 years ago. I'm telling you, if I didn't forgive myself for things I did 30 minutes ago, I'd be in big trouble. Amen? They live in guilt because somebody told them they're guilty and they can't be forgiven. They're guilty and they have to live their whole life under the law of sin. It's crazy, isn't it? Now listen, guilt. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who has sinned? Hallelujah. Remember what we said last week? If the church had to be full of people who never sinned, this place would be empty. Cobwebs and spiders, because we've all sinned. Amen? And we fall short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we are set free, not by our feelings. No matter how you feel, you carry that guilt that's on you because Jesus said, I did it on the cross. And when He did it on the cross, what did He say? It's over. It's completed. It's done once and for all. So what He did on that cross is for who? For us. Did any of us deserve it? No. He gave it how? Freely. So that we can live free and righteous. We can go to the throne room. You can go to the throne room tonight and the door wide open. The angels will hold the door wide. Oh, here comes a sister in Christ. She loves Jesus. Come on in. And you can sit and talk to Jesus. You don't need somebody else going into the high room. You don't need a high priest going into the sanctuary all by himself to pray for you. You are one in that sanctuary now. Amen? You're called to go. Hallelujah. So that removes what? That removes guilt. So then when you see somebody who's still carrying the guilt, you want to shake them like a little kid. What do you do it? Don't carry what God has already taken care of. Hallelujah. Give Him praise and glory. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Meditate on His word. We need to meditate. You need to think. But the only way that you can think about it is know the promises. And say, God, oh, God doesn't give you everything. No, you got to start with the blessings. Start with the blessings. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, God's not. He's ready and waiting to bless you, to lift you, because He knows if He does that and you believe Him, you are going to tell others about Him. You're going to become a minister to Jesus. He knows that. So the blessings are for us to grow and be strong and know that our God, our Father in heaven, is the God of God, the God who created all this beautiful love, the God who is love. We just need to know. So we take those promise books and we remove all the Bible that sounds so confusing. And we go to those few promises, like those three that we just read. You can go back now and look at them and read them for yourself and say, hey, I can read the Bible. I understand the Bible. And then you read a little before and a little after. And then you go somewhere and you take one promise out of that promise book, one promise that you need, and you go and meditate on it. And you start to meditate, and the next thing you know, it's an hour and a half later. Or the next thing you know, you're driving and you're thinking about things you never thought about. You're with God. You're thinking about hope. You're thinking about that there is another way. That no matter what man says to me, there is another way. God has another way. I just got to get out of my own understanding. I got to get out of my own opinion and let God fill me with His opinion. He loves me. That's His first opinion. He loves you. He's ready, willing, and able to bless you. Hallelujah. We just need that, to know those promises, so that when you meditate on the Word, you will prosper. When you meditate on the Word, you will have good success. When you meditate and see God in all around you, you will not have fear. You will not have guilt. You will not have depression. You will have God lifting you up in times of trial, because we all have those times of trial. But with God, we go through them in a way that's so different and the world cannot understand. So we love you, Lord, for this day. We love you for the hope that you've already given us this morning, for the joy that you've already given, for the music that you filled us with. Lord, we're ready, willing, and able. We're ready and willing to accept your word and hear your word today, and let it fill us and lift us to places we never even thought possible in our lives, because that's what you want for us. In Jesus' name, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Steve. And he hears our prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you. There's Dave. My prayer has been answered. Okay, maybe. Hi, Dave. Thank you, Lord. Anybody ever doubt Jesus? You think anybody ever have any doubts? You wonder, do you really believe him or not? And you think that there's something wrong with you spiritually? You think that there's something wrong. You must lose your mind. You have a doubt of Jesus. Now, we're walking 2,000 years after Jesus, amen? And you see the world, and you see things in your life. Never mind the world, in your life. When you wake up and the struggles, and you wonder, and you doubt sometimes, and you feel like, I must not be a Christian. I must be failing. I'm going to start by reading in the book of John, and I'm going to read about Jesus' brother. Amen. Who? His brother. His brother James. I'm going to read about James. And by the way, keep praying for our brother James. Hallelujah. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe him. Jesus said to them, My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that the works of evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to the feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. You understand what happened there. The disciples and his brother James, amen, said to him, Go there. You go and show yourself. Let's make a big show. Let's do it. You know why they did that? Because they didn't believe who he was. They didn't understand who he was, amen. They wanted Jesus to do what they wanted him to do and make this big open show because they weren't sure. He said, don't do in secret what you got to do in front of everybody, not understanding who he was. Amen? So they doubted him. James, his own brother, his own half-brother, doubted who he was. And he's saying, it's not my time to go in there. And they're trying to talk him into doing something in the flesh, amen? They're looking at the Savior of the world. They're looking at Jesus, the miracle worker, and they're saying to themselves, I don't believe, you know, I know you're all this, but let's go and make a show of them openly. Let's go and show everybody the power so they can see, amen? Totally opposite of what Jesus was all about. So when you start to think that you have a little doubt in your heart, or you're not sure he can do what he says he can do, you just think of his brother, amen, who at one time walked like that, who at one time before the resurrection actually felt like that, Miss Pat. He wasn't sure what Jesus could really do. It was his brother, after all. He little brother. What could he do? Amen? So when doubt starts to hit you, or when that, you just need to know that what we're going to read from now, oh my God, we're going to read from the book of James, and that's probably the best kept secret for a pastor, because if I start reading this and you start catching on to this, you're all going to become pastors, because you're going to have this, and this book of James has so much for you to learn. This book, the little bit we're going to read, changes lives, amen? Heals lives, saves lives. Say that with me, saves lives, and not just for eternity. I'm talking about saves lives here, amen? Saves marriages. How many know there's divorce in the world, amen? And all this, what we're going to it would save all the divorces. It would save humanity from falling short just in these few pages. And we're going to start. And he says this, my brethren, listen, who he says, who is he saying? My brethren, who is that? You. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh, Sergio, I know my brother. I think of you every time I hear that patience word, because I've been where you are, and I understand, man. I'm just telling you, it's gonna produce patience, and your faith is going to be skyrocketed. I'm so excited when I see that. Hallelujah. And notice it says, when you fall into various trials. Amen? Because James, no, it's not an if. Right, Gene? There's no if. It's when you fall. And he's saying, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And he's not saying, be happy when something happens to you. He's not saying that, amen? He's not talking about being happy when you fall into trial. He's saying, no, but when you fall into trial, realize that this trial, whatever you're going through today, is a chance for you to grow in God, amen? It's a chance for you to see God work in your life. Now you're in the spot where you need him, amen? So he's saying that. Count it a joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But, say that with me. But, I like that. Let patience have its perfect work. Not the way you want it, amen? Not the way you see it. Not the way you think it should go, it said, but let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen? But here's the key, right back to where we started from. You ask God for wisdom, amen? You ask God to lead you. What do you need to know? The scriptures, amen? When you ask God to lead you and for that wisdom, you need to hear his voice and know that it's he speaking because it's in scriptures, amen? That's where those blessing books come in handy, amen? That's what starts to opens the door, amen? He's saying, ask God for the wisdom. Ask God to show you. You got to see God in everything you do every day. Mark Bush is the perfect example. He'll see, if he drops a quarter on the floor and it falls into between the cracks and stands straight up, you know what he said? God did that. Or a piece of paper falls down and falls in the crack and stands right up. Mark will say, God did that. You see, you sound crazy to you, but it don't sound crazy to me. He's saying, no, only God can do that. And God in heaven is smiling and saying, thank you, Mark. Thank you for thinking about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you get to this, hallelujah, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. See, what's the opposite of joy? When a trial comes to somebody, what happens to them? They get depressed. They get afraid. They get angry. They get all these things when God is saying, no, count it a joy because now you need me and now I can work with you. Now I can lift you up. Amen? Paul and James is telling us that. What a beautiful lesson right there in four lines. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow with wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive what? The implanted word, the Bible, that can save your souls. Hallelujah. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. For this one will be blessed in what he does. Will be what? Blessed. Listen, I love this line right here. I mean, just listen. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless. And I tell that to people all the time. I don't care what church you go to, amen? I don't care where you go to worship him, amen? But if you go to that church and nothing happens in your life and you still talk and you still act and you still are the same person you were yesterday and the month after and the year before that, I'm telling you the Bible says your religion is worthless, amen? That place where you're going to hear his word has not served you, amen? It might have served somebody else, but it didn't serve you. And James is telling us, if you don't change, if this doesn't lift your spirit up, make you a new person on a Monday and a Tuesday, then that religion isn't doing for you what God needs it to do, amen? What God wants it to do. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. be doers of the word. Hallelujah. Now, this is interesting. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And you all say that faith is what saves you, amen? But James is saying faith can't save you, because faith sometimes is only understanding, amen? You understand faith, you understand who God is, but you don't have faith in him, amen? You don't have trust in him. You understand what it is, but when you become a doer of the word, when you start to act it, when you start to believe it in your heart, even as small as a mustard seed, then that faith becomes a muscle. Are you with me? A muscle that grows. And it grows and it grows. And sometimes you might say, like Joe, you might say you're at the end of your faith. You're at the end of your faith. And God says, I will give you more faith. He will bring people to you like Miss Pat, Elder Pat, and lift you up in prayer. And other people will come and comfort you. And all of a sudden your prayer and your faith gets a little stronger. And you go through that situation. And when you come out on the other side, guess what? Your faith is higher than it was when you started. Amen? Hallelujah. So you become a doer of the word. It says, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Amen. I have faith in God, and I will show you my faith by lifting you up, by talking to you, by praising him, by telling you more about him. Amen. I will show you my faith by where my life was and where my life is going and the changes. And you will tell people the same thing. That will be showing your faith. Amen. Faith is a good thing. Faith is what saves you. Faith is what pleases God. Only when that faith is in God. Amen. Not in man. Are you with me? How's everybody doing? All right? I'm going to go a little bit more here, just a little bit more. I know we got food downstairs, but praise the Lord. I got food right here. I got the one I wanted to get to. Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo. This is all in the book of James. Hallelujah. You only knew this book. Just book. Just read the book of James. Here's the one right here. My brethren, I love that. Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that what we shall receive is a stricter judgment. Are you on that? For we all stumble in many things. We all do what? If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, hallelujah, and boasts of great things. Are you with me? See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set so among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every beast, every kind of beast and bird or reptile or creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. Hallelujah. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Figs, this no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Half a page. If you took that half a page home and put it on your refrigerator, and every time you got mad at your spouse and you looked at that, I better not say that. Let me go upstairs and sit down for a little while, and then I'll come back and we'll, amen? If you went to work and you got mad at your boss and you were just, and you said, wait a minute. And you go and go back to your work and you calm down, and maybe you realize you were wrong. Maybe your boss was wrong, but you calm down so that you can go and you speak it. Amen. In a different tone. Amen. That changes things, does it not? You can think of a million things in your life. And I'm going to raise my hand because I'm guilty of this. Amen. I'm guilty. When you say something, and it isn't what you mean, But you say something, and it comes out like what you don't think it means, and somebody hears it that way, let me tell you, two people are affected. You and the person that hears it. And I'll tell you, you can say, I'm sorry till the cows come home, and that other person will forgive you and will forget. But you don't forget. You don't forget what you went through after saying something to somebody you love. Something that may have been everything right about what you were saying, but it didn't come out to you even talking about it. Amen? You were angry. You were upset. And what's the one thing we can't tame? You can't. So guess what? You're out here with the tongue and your brain's way back here, and the brain's saying, what are you doing? And once it's out, I tell you what, I give it to God. I have to. Because I right here it hurts. So I know what I'm trying to say, and I know what I want to say, and I know that we can talk about things. But when you're angry, anybody ever get angry, by the way, or is it just me? When you're angry, that little thing gets out there, and you get fired. You lose a spouse, you break up with your wife, and you start fighting with your children, and that's a big one. You get mad at your children, you need to go to the back room and lock the door for a minute, because you can hurt a child with words, amen? You can hurt them, you can scar them to a place where it takes a long time to heal, amen? But I'll tell you, it takes a long time to heal. The one who said it, it takes a long time to heal, amen? Because I am guilty of that. I stand in front of you guilty because you say things, and it's not even what you mean, but when it comes out, it sounds horrible. And then you say, you go home. That's what I did. You go home and you sit down and say, Lord, only you can fix this. You can make good out of bad. God can do that. Walter, God can do it. He can make good out of bad. So I'm thinking, you know, there's a lesson. So if your tongue gets ahead of you and you realize that you said something, Jim, that it's a lesson. If you give it to God, if you walk around and have the pain in your heart and sorrow, you're never learning it. But you say, you know what, I gave it to God, and my heart, I repented. Remember what David said, I sinned against God, amen? You don't sin against man, you sin against God. So I went to God and said, Lord, you know my heart, but I know that my tongue got ahead of me. I know that I shouldn't have said that. I know that I shouldn't have said that to my spouse. I shouldn't have said that to my children. I shouldn't have said that to the people I love. I shouldn't have said that because it wasn't what I meant. Amen? My brother said something to me one day. And I've told this story so many times. He said something to me one day. He was really sick when he said it. I know he was. And he lived the last year and a half of his life in pain that he said that to me. Because him and I were inseparable. But he said something in his pain. And I don't know how many times he apologized. And I don't know how many times I told him from the moment he said it, I forgave him. In fact, that when he said it, I put my arm around him and I said, Johnny, I love you. I love you. What? And I knew that he was sick. But he lived with what he said. So the day he passed away, because of what he said to me, because his tongue got ahead of him, amen, because of his anger, because of whatever. And you know what? You get angry, you get frustrated, you're upset, you don't agree with something, so you right away you say what you say, and then everybody else has to live with that, amen? But if you just stop and say, you know, I trust you. I trust that we can do this. You tell your wife, you tell your husband, I trust we can get through this. I don't agree with you at all. You don't agree with me at all, but there's got to be a place we can go to make this so beautiful that we grow together. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me? So you read that about the tongue. It could save lives. Amen? Let's get real. Let's just be real. You get pulled over by a policeman. Two things can happen. You can roll your window down, turn you off your car, and you can say, how you doing? You can still get somebody who's a real, you know, right? He's a person. He's a person, all right? But you can change the atmosphere. Amen? I've had a bad time. I'm telling you, I could tell you, you all probably did. I had a real bad time in New York with a local yokel in the middle of nowhere. But you can change the atmosphere of what happens. You can yell and scream at them, and that's something else is going to happen. Amen? You can be defiant, and something else is going to happen because your tongue and your opinion is way ahead of where it's supposed to be. Amen? But if you change your ways, even with that, could save lives. Amen? Just that one little verse can change and save a marriage. It could save your job. It could get you a raise. Do you know that? God will lift you up. You listen to what he's saying, and he could lift you up in a place you didn't expect to get lifted up because you did it unto God. Amen? Now give him praise and glory this morning, church. Let's do the Lord's Supper.
Hallelujah. Was that praise? I don't know.
You don't have to be as crazy about Jesus as I am, but I pray that you become that. I pray that you just climb every mountain with me. Hallelujah. And know that things in everybody's life is not perfect, and we're all in this together. He took the bread, he blessed and broke it, and he told these disciples who looked at him and didn't understand, he said, this is my body that's going to be torn for you, brothers and sisters. He said, I'm going to stand in the gap for you. I'm about to take all your sins upon me. And he said, we need to do, eat, and do this in remembrance of him. Hallelujah. This is a great time to ask him to forgive you for your iniquities this week. Ask him to forgive you this morning for what you said, what you didn't say, how you acted, whatever it is, whatever you went through this week at work, home, driving, and then you yelled at somebody and said things maybe you shouldn't have. Asked him to forgive you. Because we sin against God, not against man. And he will forgive us. Cleanse you so that you can receive this sacrament, the beautiful Lord's Supper. Thank you, Lord. No man can tame the tongue. Certainly not an excuse to sing and do what you want. Hallelujah. But it can save your life. It can save your marriage. It can save your children. It can save your job. When you do unto God, when you go to work, whatever you do it to the best of your ability. That God sees, even if nobody else does, God has a way of lifting you up without you knowing. And you wonder how it happened, how a door got opened, because God opened the door. And when you see that God opened that one door, you will never want him to stand in front of you and close any doors. You want him there opening doors as you walk. Hallelujah.